Hi, I'm Tana. I'm still recovering ABC. I just want to say that this retreat has been such a delight. It has just been so relaxing and so well run. And I just want to give another round of applause to everybody who worked on this and planned and organized. It truly has been like just a pleasant, no drama retreat. And, you know, it made it so much easier for me. And also I want to thank everybody for being here, because this is the first time I've done a retreat all by myself. And so, you know, I've always had my dear friend Mike do the retreat with me, and I'm a baby in OA compared to him. So to do this by myself, you know, it's been scary, but I'm so glad you're here. And everything I hear from people when they share, thank you. You know, there was one person here who was a newcomer, and she said exactly a thing I needed to hear. Pearls of wisdom come from everyone's mouth here, and I have been so enriched by what people have shared about their traditions. So what I want to do is start in this particular part of the retreat is I want to talk a little bit about more in all of our affairs, just kind of in a general sense, and then I'll move into the traditions. In all our affairs, when I'm practicing these principles in all my affairs, you know, it means cash register honesty. If I'm given too much change back, I tell the person at the store, I think you gave me too much change. You know, there's one thing, I got a free something in a package from artbees.com. I'm sorry, I shouldn't have mentioned the name. That was outside issue. But anyway, from a website. I've got to call them up and say, did you mean to send this as a free gift, or was this a mistake? You know, so that's something I need to do when I get back, because I got a free thing from them. On my taxes, that means I do my taxes honestly. I have my regular professional taxes, and I might have my business taxes. And that's, you know, taxes give me hives. Oh, my God. You know, I need me a math person, but I'm not an addition, subtraction, multiplication, division girl, you know. Calculus, you know, but accounting just absolutely makes me break out in hives, and taxes is even worse. Taxes just, bah. And so I pay someone to do it. And I go to a tax consultant. I have them help me. And I don't try to, you know, I just try to say, okay, this is what I bought. This is what I used it for. And I try to be honest to the best of my ability. You know, because I still feel like, oh, what if I'm missing something? What's so funny is my husband is just like, oh, you are the most disorganized person in the world. And my tax accountant says, you are so organized and detailed. I wish everybody was like this. And I'm like, oh, please send this to my husband an email. You know, but I, you know, another thing where I practice these principles in all my affairs, and this is something I got to do when I get home because I'm late right now. I'm not always on time, but I get it done, you know, I remember asking my sponsor, you know, what about licensing my cats? Well, my cats are indoor cats. Why do I have to get a Snohomish County pet license? And she's like, I said, you know, I never let them outside. Literally, I don't unless they once in a while escape. She goes, I don't know, Tawny, you may want to pray about this. This is the stuff I used to eat over. Damn it. So, you know, I'm late on paying my, you know, so I'll pay the fine. That's okay. But it's like these are the things I do. And I may not do it perfectly. I may not do it exactly on time. But I do it, you know. So you'd think somebody who's this organized, you know, mathematical type would be better at some of this. But, you know, I'm not perfect. And it's progress, not perfection, as long as I get it done. And if I need to make an amends, I make the amends. And I do my best. So another way I practice these principles, the steps and the traditions and all my affairs, is when I'm telling somebody the truth, I tell them the truth. I don't do it meanly, you know, but I also don't, you know, omit important areas. And it's, you know, there's a truth by, you know, there's lying by omission. That's something that I had to learn to watch, you know, that sometimes I've said I can't talk about it. But this is, you know, it's like when you tell the truth, that means you don't like omit big details like, oh, by the way, I bought a new car, you know, on your credit card. And speaking, that leads me right into practicing these principles on all affairs. How I raise my children, my poor kids. See, this is why we have a college fund, we don't have a college fund. We have a therapy fund for my kids. One of my kids decided that she was going to take her older sister's debit card, and they all had a debit card with a certain amount of money, and they would use that to learn to manage their money. That and their cell phone, 1 gigabyte cell phone data, limitation, you know, and that has been really effective, you know, as far as teaching them about money management, because they don't want to, you know, when they waste their data in 2 days, it's just gone. But anyway, one of my daughters took her older daughter's debit card and used it to charge $250 in crap. And so I get this message from the bank saying, by the way, this account is empty and, you know, it doesn't overdraft it because it's attached to my account, but it sent me an alert and I'm going, well, my oldest daughter does not spend money on anything. She's great at spending other people's money, but not her own. And it turns out one of her younger sisters had taken the debit card, charged all this stuff up, and I'm getting packages from, you know, different, you know, somebody's secrets and some, you know, different, you know, yum yum or whatever it was. I don't remember. And I'm kind of going, what is going on? And so I texted my oldest daughter and going, what's going on here? How come you have no money in your account? She's like, what are you talking about? Well, it turns out, you know, we found out what happened. And so, you know, it's like I had my younger daughter. She had to write an amends letter. She had to pay her sister back. All the items that she received that she had bought on stolen funds were donated to a homeless teen shelter for LGBTQ youth. So she didn't even get the stuff. She had to donate it, you know. And then I had her do a lot of writing. And so I took things out of the traditions and the fourth step. And so this poor kid was doing a fourth step and looking up things like honesty and integrity in the dictionary and writing all what it meant. She had like pages of writing she had to do. So this is one way I practice these principles on all my affairs. And my program friends are just cracking up. They think it's hysterical. My, quote, normal friends, they weren't quite sure where all this was coming from. Wow, this is really strict. But, you know, I figure I wanted to make this lesson really painful. And I did it in a kind way. I wasn't mean about it, but I really wanted her to understand so she wouldn't make this mistake again. You know, we went through the RCWs and looked up, you know, this is the amount of jail time you'd have, you know. And I mean, I made this a big, painful production and how serious it was. And the next time you do this, I will be calling the police. And I was serious because I did not ever want to see this happen again. I said, you know, if you did this in college, you'd be looking at jail time. So this is, again, how I practice these principles on all my affairs. I pull things out of the steps and traditions and have the kids do it. So, yeah, like I said, we have a therapy fund instead of a college fund. So, but I thought that was a funny story and I had to share that with you. So, tradition 10. Tradition 10. OA has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. The principle is neutrality or non-controversial. You know, live and let live. And your children are not on your plan of eating, neither is your spouse or co-workers. Just saying. I have known, after this situation with my daughter, I have been known to say, I understand fully why mother animals in the wild sometimes eat their young. It was, and I planned the, and there are times that I thought, you know, yesterday or Friday before coming to the retreat, my daughter Lindsay was just making me crazy. You know, she's planning to be a lawyer and she's practicing. And I thought, you know, if I sell her on eBay, will I have to make an amends, you know? So, yeah, it's my kids, poor things. Anyway, as applied to relationships, tradition 10. A relationship, whether at home or work, should avoid heated controversy. We're each entitled to our own opinion on outside issues. Hence, our name ought never be drawn into public controversy. So how well do I live by the 10th tradition? Again, these are in your write-up here. Can I honestly share my own personal experience without acting like a know-it-all, name-dropping or implying my experience is more valid than others? Ooh, that's hard. When I go through these things, I think, damn, I still have more work to do. Every time I work through these traditions, it's like, this is even more thorough for me than a fourth step because I handled a lot of the big stuff in the fourth step, which I've done a number of times. I've done the AA big book way several times, at least three times. I've done the OA 12-step way. I've done the OA 12-step workbook way. I mean, I've done many different types of four steps. But when I've gone through the questions and in the traditions, it just gets at these more subtle layers of relationships. And I always, you know, they just always bite me in the butt. Damn it. I thought I'd finally arrived, but no, not even close. Do I find relationships more interesting when there's a spark of controversy in the group? Do I ever bring in outside issues just to get people stirred up? Or am I afraid to speak up when others use controversy to stir things up in the family, at work, or in relationships? You know, this is one of the things that I have to be careful of, because my nemesis at work, you know, Eric, the guy who's lucky he's in Columbia, Maryland, otherwise he'd be buried in my backyard, the man who has God put in my life to teach me about how to set boundaries and how to practice these principles in all my affairs. We are politically on, you know, it's like Crossfire. It's like a political show that used to be on. From the left, there's this person. From the right, there's this person. And sometimes we'll get talking about politics, and we are so diametrically opposed on everything in life that's possible, except for our degrees. You know, we can kind of get, you know, and it's good natured, but it's an outside issue. And I have to be careful not to get into this outside issue with him, because we get snarky and we're wasting company time. It's an outside issue. Sure, you know, and both of us want to be right, and both of us like to needle each other. I mean, let's be honest. I like to needle him. He likes to needle me a lot more than I like to needle him. Or maybe he doesn't have a program to work, and I do, so I can't hold myself back. But, oh, dang, you know, no opinion on outside issues. Or, you know, it's like another one. Like, I love the comment earlier about, you know, the social media group that many of us belong to. And, you know, my relatives are on one side of the political spectrum. I'm on the exact opposite. We all have the same morals. We have all the same values. We were raised by the same grandparents and, you know. But, you know, when they start posting about stuff, I have, you know, it's like I had to turn off many things because I want to go in there and stir the pot and needle them because I think they're intolerant and they need to be enlightened. And so, damn, you know, it's really hard. You know, even after all these years in program, I still have things to work on. Damn it. So, yeah, I have to look at the 10th tradition and, you know, what is an outside issue? Do I need to be bringing this into my family and creating, stirring the pot, you know? And I never thought I was a big pot stirrer, but, you know, I can be, especially if I think injustice is going on, I need to stir the pot. Do I really need to do it? There are much more effective ways, you know, than starting a flame war. Oh, God, I'm still here because I'm not all there. Yes. So thoughts on which to meditate. Tradition 10 frees us to concentrate on recovery from compulsive eating without the conflicts which seem to rage in the world around us. Many of us have been drawn to the excitement of conflict. Of course, no group or person can live completely free of conflict. But in O way, we can learn to live and even thrive with a minimum of strife. And this tradition has been so important to me in OA. I saw the big Saturday meeting in San Jose go from like 125 to 150 people. And it was over a controversy over this little pre-version of the AA big book. And it was not AA-approved literature. And this controversy over this book took this 125, 150-person meeting down to 20 people. It just flattened the meeting. I don't think the meeting has ever recovered to its pre-controversy status. You know, I mean, these things can really tank a meeting. And it's so sad, because that was my favorite meeting for just years. OA has the excitement, as excitement enough to offer as we see the hopeless compulsive overeaters recover through the miracle of the 12 steps. This could not happen if we allowed outside issues to turn our fellowship into a platform for debate. For this reason, the 10th tradition of having no opinion on outside issues is one of our most carefully guarded practices in OA. Pages 190 to 191 of the OA 12 and 12. So, you know, so if you're wondering what is an outside issue, page 187 of OA 12 and 12, you can find information on that. Do personal OA members need to sacrifice personal freedom and give up outside concerns and activities? Answers to that, page 185. Breaks in tradition can have serious, far-reaching consequences in our program, pages 186 to 187. You know, our food plan's outside issues. That's covered in page 188. If anyone has questions about that, look at page 188 in the OA 12 and 12 in Tradition 10. And so, you know, one of these things that I, you know, it's really easy for me, and I want to say this out loud because some people in here are newer in program, and they may be reading this and going, oh, man, I am just such a failure. I'll never be perfect. Don't think that. You're here, I'm a person up here who's been in program over 29 years. It doesn't mean I have all the answers. It just means I've been around a long time and seen more dysfunctional stuff than most people, you know, as I like to say. And, you know, so it's, I still struggle with this stuff. You know, I still discover, dang, I'm doing that again. And then I get to work step 6 and 7 with my sponsor about my character defects. So, you know, it took me many years to become who I am dysfunctional and non-dysfunctional, you know, and it takes a long time to recover. And some of it, you know, it just, it takes time, it takes working the program. And if you keep coming back, no matter what, I don't care if you're absent, you're not absent, if you just keep coming back, you will get recovery. You will, you know, rarely have we seen a person fail who has thoroughly followed our steps. That is absolute truth from the big book. And it's just doing the steps, working with your sponsor, working with the traditions. It's very, you know, there's a, I call it, I have, my friend has a mantra, and I just want to say this before I go to tradition 11. For those of you who may be struggling with the food right now, this is the mantra I'd like you to remember. Number one, put the fork down. Number two, get your ass to a meeting. Number three, call your sponsor. Number four, read the big book. Number five, read the 12 and 12. Number six, give service. Number seven, pray like hell. And if that doesn't work, number one, put the goddamn fork down. Number two, get your damn ass to a meeting. Number three, call your sponsor. Number four, read the big book. Number five, read the 12 and 12. Number six, give service. Number seven, pray like hell. On your knees is fine too. And if that doesn't work, number one, put the fork down. I think you guys know, get the, you know, it's that, and that, that truly has helped me a lot. Just don't leave, don't give up before the miracle. This program does work. And you, no matter, you know, it talks about in the promises, no matter how far down the scale we've come, we've gone, we can see how our experience can benefit others. So even though I've been at the depths of despair in my compulsive overeating, and I've done some really crappy things in my life pre-program, I can use that experience to work with newcomers and share my experience, strength, and hope with them, and they have hope that they too can recover and be able to do steps 8 and 9, you know, making the amends, becoming willing to make amends and the making the amends, and it's not a big deal once you go through the steps, each one in order with your sponsor. Okay, moving to tradition 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, TV, and other public media of communication. Principle of anonymity, it's attraction rather than promotion. Do we walk the talk or only talk the talk? Another way of looking at this is you catch more flies with honey than with vinegar. As applied to relationships, each partner best conveys his or her beliefs and philosophy by attraction rather than promotion. Anonymity is a valuable asset in the relationship. So how well do I live by the 11th tradition at work, in my family, with my relatives, in my friend circles? How does my family or my work, you know, my friend circles, make its family meetings or work meetings, etc., known to others who may want to attend? Can I do good things for my relationships anonymously? Do I do good things for our relationships anonymously? Or do I expect people to keep score? Do I expect to get recognition? Do I proselytize when talking about issues? Am I guilty of promotion rather than attraction? One area I have to be really careful about this is with OA, because I would get so excited about OA and about how great it is, I can cross over into that proselytizing a little bit. You know, that's about anything. You know, I get so passionate about something, whether it be art or, you know, becoming an engineer when I talk to young students in high schools. It's like I have to watch I don't cross over into the proselytization mode. So that's something I have to work on and keep an eye on. One of the things I love doing, this part of the 11th tradition, how I practice it is I call it angeling. It's kind of like, you know, paying for the person's bridge toll behind me when I'm crossing the Golden Gate Bridge, you know, or, you know, just doing little things like that just for the heck of it and not telling anybody. And I don't have to, you know, nobody knows about it. I don't have to do it, but it's just kind of fun and to do little random acts of kindness without people finding out. And that's, I don't have to get an award for this. I just do it because, you know, you just never know. It may make somebody feel good. It may help somebody out. I don't have to know that it makes their day. It's weird when they follow me in their car doing this, you know, trying to figure out who it was. But, okay, you know, it's just one of those things I do. You know, are my relationships attractive to others? Do I lead by example? You know, one of the things I do at work, you know, and this is really hard as a manager. You know, I have to look at what am I bringing to the relationship. As a manager, what, you know, and even when I was an individual contributor, you know, as a senior person in the group, what am I bringing to the group? Am I like engaged in a lot of company gossip, which I have been known to do at times, or am I criticizing the management chain, or am I going in and am I trying to support and being a good example? And I have to really watch, you know, I've been working with my sponsor on this. What am I bringing to the team? Am I letting my fears, my character defect of fear, leak into my conversations with the team? You know, because there's always layoffs. And so, or am I talking to people's strengths, encouraging them, helping them develop themselves so they are less likely to be laid off? You know, for example, that's an example of how I use this in all my affairs is, you know, that anonymity and, you know, and this, you know, I kind of went into a little bit into the discussions, you know, so but it relates to that anonymity. It's that being the best Tana I can be and not expecting kudos, not expecting recognition, just doing the right thing. So thoughts in which to meditate. Attraction rather than promotion is good for us and essential for the OA fellowship. Our individual recovery as well as our group unity and effectiveness depends on this unusual brand of public relations. The 11th tradition is based on faith in our program in that a power greater than ourselves which guides compulsive overeaters to our doors. All we have to do is let the facts about OA and its principles be known. We can depend on our higher power and this miraculous program to attract those who can benefit by what OA has to offer. When we maintain our tradition of anonymity, we ensure that OA will remain a spiritual fellowship supporting all of us in our own recovery. Pages 197 and 198 of the OA 12 and 12. I am anonymous, but I do talk to professionals about my OA program. Anonymity does not mean secrecy. And so I talk to my doctors and I talk to my kids' doctors about OA. I bring them literature from the fellowship and I tell them about our little meeting in Monroe. And I give them, you know, I give them information so they can give to their clients. And I've told, you know, and I do this not only with OA, but having a child with autism. You know, I've told my daughter's therapist, you know, if you have a person in need, a parent in need of talking to another parent about the challenge of having a child with autism, you may give them my personal phone number. I have told my doctors, you may give them my personal phone number. If they need to talk to somebody about OA, it is okay. So at that level, I will tell the doctor that I am willing to talk to newcomers. You know, I'm willing to do that. I'm willing to be a contact person for OA. And I just say, I'm not perfect. I'm just one of many people. But I really want to get the message out to the medical community. And I hope, and I don't believe that's a breach of anonymity because I'm not going out on a public stage going, oh, I'm Tana, I'm a compulsive overeater and look at me. No, it's just, it's part of me carrying the message, which goes into step 12, to those who still suffer, is I carry the message to medical professionals. I don't get up on stage. I do it in a very quiet way, but I let them know that it is there and I'm willing to talk to people. I don't care if it's OA. I don't care if it's working with kids with autism. I have been given a gift in the struggles I've been given. I've been given a gift dealing with my compulsive overeating, with my infertility, with having a child on the autism spectrum. How I cannot ever pay back the people who helped me out, but I can pay it forward. And that's how I practice these principles in all my affairs. Tradition 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personality, the principle being spirituality. Or it's not all about me. And anonymity does not mean putting my lofty principles before my partner's contaminated personality, you know. Although sometimes I feel like that in marriage, you know. Just kidding. My husband's wonderful, although because he does not work a program, you know, I do sometimes get some resentments. You know, he's a normal person, and it's just, you know, it's really frustrating sometimes because I want to work my program with him and on him, but all I can do is work my program on myself. And it's how I react to the situation. Am I behaving in a program way? So it can be interesting. Okay, as applied to relationships, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of our way of life as marriage partners or as friends or as colleagues at work. Ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. The spiritual substance of anonymity is sacrifice. So how well do I live by the 12th tradition? Do I practice anonymity or humility in my relationships with others? Do I value each individual's importance or uniqueness within my group, my work group, my family? Do I value all in my relationships as equals, or do I see some as stars or gurus? Do I confuse OA principles with my own personal opinions. Well, you know, especially early in program, I'm sure I did that a lot, you know. And so what I try to do is with my team, I just say, you know, I tell my team, even though I'm the manager now, I consider myself one of you. I still consider myself the same in the group. I just have a slightly different role. And I tell them, I honestly believe that, you know, and I trust you. You're a great team. And I want to do whatever I can do to make you guys look good. And I truly believe that. And, you know, this is, I probably manage a bit differently than your traditional male manager or manager in particular. You know, I have in my team of six people, I have 5 men and 1 woman, and only one person is from the U.S. and the rest are from different countries. We all live in the U.S. and they're all U.S. citizens, but they're immigrated to the U.S. And so we have a very different blend of culture, and it's always fun, you know, because there's a lot of misunderstandings that happen. But what I try to do is I try to trust and respect everybody from where they're coming from. Some people have more experience than others, and it's a matter of trusting they know what they're doing, giving them the freedom to do what they believe is right, and then guiding them if things don't quite go right. You know, so it's a real delicate balance. This year in management has given me such fodder to work my program. Oh, my God. It's, you know, even going to India, I had this on a business trip, and I used to think, you know, there's a lot of outsourcing in my field, and I used to think, well, these Indian engineers are taking our U.S. jobs, you know, and I was really upset about that, a real resentment, and wasn't really all that willing to pray about it very much, and you know, I have more work to do. And I went over there, and I thought, you know, because they ask for these really simple questions, and they don't seem to get the answers right like us U.S. engineers. And what I found was, it was shocking to go over there, because these engineers over there, they were like a year out of college. They were 3 months out of college. They were babies. I was old enough practically to be their parents, certainly, and maybe even their grandparents, you know, well, maybe not that bad. But you know, it was like they were so young, and here I had these preconceived notions, and it really turned my life around to see them and to meet them and to find, I'm one of them. I'm just like them. That was me 30 years ago. And how judgmental I've been, and part of my working amends is I don't bash the team. You know, I realized I wasn't being real kind about that. You know, I was kind of being a little bit uppity. And so how I practice these principles in all my affairs is I let the team know when one of those people ask a really dumb question. It's like, you know what? They're fresh out of college. Remember what we were like when we were fresh out of college? We were really green. And so that's why I can, again, practice these principles in all my affairs and make a living amends. Because it wouldn't be good to them to go to them and say, do an amends and say, you know, I used to really think you're an idiot, and now I realize you're not. That would not be an appropriate amends, you know. So, you know, it's like, and then, so I have a lot of opportunity to keep practicing these principles. So, you know, also, how else do I live by the 12 tradition? Do I support and trust the collective decisions of my family, organization, or work, or do I let one or several strong personalities run everything? Do I speak up for OA principles even if someone might be displeased? I deal with this a lot at work. I have, you know, I talked about Eric, my nemesis. You know, I jokingly say this, the man drives me crazy. He is the reason why I'm still in program, because I need this program to deal with this man, you know, and my ex and a few other people. But anyway, it's strong personality. Oh, my gosh. And I have had to learn in OA how to set boundaries. And people, the new people might be thinking, what is it about boundaries? You know, because when I heard the term boundaries, I thought, and, you know, my therapist was talking to me about it. She kept saying, Tawny, you need to set boundaries. And I would be like, but Mary, what's a boundary? You know, that's between Canada and the U.S. I don't understand what you mean. I had no clue what a boundary was. And she kept talking about these freaking boundaries. My sponsor in OA taught me what a boundary was and how to set boundaries. And how to use the steps and traditions to set boundaries. Because if I don't set boundaries with these people, I eat over it. I eat over my anger. I eat over my frustration. I eat over my rage. I eat over my sadness, my fear, my discomfort. That's what I would do. And so by working these steps and traditions in my daily life, in all my affairs, I gain tools. I talked about that toolbox when I first came. You know, when I came to OA, my tool was the equivalent of a toothbrush to scrub, you know, downtown Seattle streets. You know, not very effective. Eventually it would clean it, but it would take a long time, and it was not very effective. And what I got in OA, I have with the steps and the traditions and the tools and working with my higher power and a sponsor and with all of you, I have power tools, man. I've got street sweepers and I got major power tools. It's like the things that used to baffle me. It talks about in the promises, things that used to baffle us, you know, are now clear. And this is what the steps will do for you. And the traditions is things that relationships and situations at work and in family and at home that used to baffle us, they become crystal clear. And we have those tools to move forward. And for everybody, those tools are going to be different. My toolbox is lacking certain tools and not the same tools that your toolbox is perhaps lacking. So this is something we find in our discovery process and recovery is, you know, I may have a whole set of hammers, but no screwdrivers. You may have three screwdrivers and no hammers and a few, you know, wrenches, for example. So we all help. This is why it's kind of a we program. We all kind of teach each other the tools through the sponsoring, through just peer mentoring of each other, listening to those phone calls, those OA phone calls that we make. It's amazing how we help each other. When I have a newcomer call me or an old timer call me, I get amazing insight and I get new tools from my tool chest. And the thing about these tools is they're pretty light. They aren't these really heavy, dysfunctional, broken things that I used to just drag around. So, as we recover in OA, we come to feel anonymity is one of our most precious possessions. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of our transformed lives, as well as of OA traditions. We are compulsive overeaters living in recovery, no longer in bondage to food. We know that support for our recovery will always be here as long as we remember to place principles before personalities, respecting these vital 12 traditions which bind us together in the fellowship of Overeaters Anonymous, pages 206 and 207 of the OA 12 and 12. Living by the 12 traditions require we adopt attitudes. We place the welfare of the OA group above our own desires, tradition 1. We give up aspirations that govern our fellow members, tradition 2. We welcome all to our meetings whom have a desire to stop eating compulsively, regardless of how we feel about them, tradition 3. We give up dependence on authorities and power structures, along with our ambitions to climb to the top of some imaginary OA ladder, traditions 4 and 9. We cease all attempts to use OA to promote our favorite outside issues and enterprises, traditions 5, 6, and 10. We pay our own way and quit expecting others to keep OA going without our help, tradition 7. We give up all aspirations to gain professional status as OA members, tradition 8. We give up all ambitions that we may someday be acclaimed publicly for OA service or recovery, tradition 11. Behind all of these self-sacrificing attitudes is a single spiritual foundation so important to our fellowship is part of our name, anonymity, tradition 12, pages 199 of the OA 12 and 12. And I've talked about, you know, principles before personalities. You know, what I find is God speaks to me through you, through other people. And I need to pay attention when people share, because what I find is the people, you know, it's real easy for me to form opinions, you know, and I, especially when I was young in program and I would, well, this person just irritates the crap out of me. And, you know, but God has a sense of humor because God would place his words in that person's mouth and they would share it. And I would be thinking, damn it, God, this is really irritating. You know, another thing I love about the traditions is it keeps our meetings safe. I remember when I was in San Jose, there was this one person who used to drive me crazy again. And he wanted to bring in this outside literature so bad. And, you know, and I hate conflict. I'm really good at dealing with conflict now, 29 years later. I used to just hide and eat over it. I mean, I hated conflict. And I would hold it and 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 hold it. And then it would be Mount Tana would explode. Kaboom, and lava would go over everybody. And, you know, I was, because I'd held it in, and then it was totally inappropriate. And through OA, I've learned to just set boundaries. You know, and these traditions have helped me because I can look at the traditions and I can look at the steps and I've learned things from my sponsor and from you. And so now when someone comes up to me and has a hot button, really wants to do something that's not in keeping with our traditions and it's frustrating the hell out of me, I don't have to get mad. I don't have to eat over it and go away frustrated. I can just say, I'm really sorry, but, you know, that's not in keeping with the traditions. We can't do that. But Tana, you are so rigid and we need to do blah 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 blah. Oh, I'm really sorry, but you know, that's just not in keeping with the traditions and I don't feel comfortable with that. That doesn't work for me. But Tana, you know, I just think you're carrying this too far. You know, it doesn't have to be about personalities. It doesn't have to be about me versus him. It's about, you know, I'm really sorry, but that just, I feel real uncomfortable with that, you know. It's just not in keeping with the traditions, and the traditions are what keep our meetings safe. So the traditions have been a fabulous way for me, especially in meetings, but to kind of tone down really heated situations. So I want to do a quick time check. It says 10 to 10. Okay. What I want to do now is I want people to write, take time to write for 15 minutes, and then we'll have sharing. And write on traditions 10, 11, 12, or what you've gotten out of the retreat.